250 home run hitters in this series. Neither guy has gone deep.
The pitch.
Swing and a drive. Right field. As it was out of my mouth. Gone! Scratch that. Aaron Judge has gone deep. Yankees 2. Dodgers nothing.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
In the air to left center field. Judge on the run. Dead sprint now to the track, and it's over his head. Betts in to score. Freddie Freeman for the plate, and this game has been turned upside down.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Start the party, Los Angeles. Your Dodgers have won the World Series.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hello. Happy what? Halloween.
What is happening? Spooky, spooky. Ooh.
That might be one of the scariest costumes I've ever seen.
If only.
I hope you go to the door tonight.
I have to go trick-or-treating with this.
Is this your costume for Halloween? Like for the family?
Yes and no. Oh, so I have weird.
A wardrobe change halfway through?
We get into Halloween in the Sprague household. I wanted to be, and I'm planning to be, a fly swatter, and my daughter's a fly.
Okay.
Famously in all of my family, everybody knows that if there's a fly in any house near anywhere we're eating, I will not stop until that fly is dead.
Yeah, you got to attack the fly.
So I thought it'd be a funny costume to be a fly swatter, and she's a fly, and she loved the idea. And then this came about, and my wife worked on this. I told you, it's a Temu version.
She made this thing.
She made this.
Badass.
And I have to walk around the neighborhood in it.
If only people could have. There's times where I wish we could turn the YouTube cameras on a little bit earlier.
Sure.
Just to see what it was like watching you try and get the cardboard box and the sheet over your head.
It's not easy. It's very difficult sitting here, to be honest with
you. This is going to. A lot of people should hopefully watch on YouTube today because you're in for a treat if you do. But you are dressed up as a Pop-Tart for those who are not watching currently. Yeah. My co-host is a Pop-Tart right now.
I would debatably say Pop-Tart was the theme of college football last year, summed it all up.
You're not wrong. There is a Pop-Tart bowl. Remember they actually ate the giant Pop-Tart? They put the mascot into the toaster and then ate the mascot at the end of the game.
So do you want full disclosure?
Full disclosure. What do you got?
I forgot. I actually had this idea. I forgot yesterday to buy the strawberry Pop-Tart because that's the flavor I am. And I was going to toast it before I left and then bring it in, hide it, and then at the very end of the show, dip down under the table and then slide the cooked Pop-Tart to you so you can eat me.
Slide over a Pop-Tart. I'll eat you at the end of the show. That sounds great.
I thought that would
That's
be a
delightful
funny
end of the Thursday. I'll have a strawberry Pop-Tart at 8:50. That would be delightful, man.
You guys are going back to high school today.
Back to high school is what we got. I don't really have any, I'm not a costume guy. So I don't really have much
That's
else
okay.
going on.
I'm not much of a costume guy.
I got this in the house. My mom dropped it off a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, hey, I haven't worn this thing in 20 years, so I might as well break it out again. Swag found his. So we got the Letterman's jackets on today.
Yep. I'm just glad you guys participated.
We had full high school swag here. So
yeah, you got popped collar.
Popped collar.
Your hair looks like the 50s. Yeah, you got it going on.
Yeah, you got the done up hair with like one little dangly down on
the
forehead.
Short shorts.
Short shorts on over there.
I couldn't find, I don't have any OP shorts from back in the day that were the true they basically just covered your crotch.
To be honest with you, I'm used to seeing your junk. You usually wear sweatpants that are very form-fitting.
And I don't have any.
We see a lot of that.
Sperry topsiders with no socks would have just.
I think if you put your moose knuckle in a police lineup, I could identify it. I'm not kidding. I think I'd be like, nope, that's swag right there.
The bulge are we looking for?
Yeah, I know that thing.
That's the bulge right there. I know that bulge.
Well, happy Halloween. I know not everybody celebrates Halloween. Some, We got some audio. We'll get to some audio later. It's a ridiculous holiday for many.
Oh, some people are not celebrating tonight, huh? They're just out on Halloween.
You know, you're not a big Halloween guy.
I mean, I'm getting to it a little bit more now. I mean, Teddy Ballgame's not quite, I mean, you know, he's 9 months old, right? So we're going to throw a costume on him. He's not walking around neighborhoods and going trick-or-treating.
Today's about him, though.
It is. When he gets older, though, we'll be a Halloween family.
Like, you think
we'll get more into it. We'll have better decorations up. It'll be more investment from the Johnson Johnson household when he gets older. I think that's one of the benefits of kids, is they get you back into holidays. Where in the past, Halloween is usually just a pain in my ass of, right, I got kids knocking on my door all night.
Yeah.
My dog barks every time a kid knocks on the door.
Yeah.
I got to go get the door. Sometimes there's a game on, like a Thursday night football game. I'm trying to watch that, but now I'm missing it because I'm up and down. But with kids, I'm a little more into Halloween now this year.
Yeah, because before the kids, before even the wife, it was like, let's get drunk day.
That was what Halloween was. Yeah. What are we doing this weekend? Especially when it fell on a Friday or a Saturday.
Next year, it's on a Friday.
We got next 2 years, Halloween's going to be glory days. Friday night, Saturday night, Halloween.
I felt bad for Schultzy. He's doing a Halloween party. He does these.
Every year he's got a big one.
Yeah, but he's doing his on November.
What day is he doing it?
Friday. You do Halloween. You
got to
do it the weekend before if it doesn't fall on a Friday.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you there. By the time your clock hits November, I'm kind of,
let's move on. I'm in Christmas mode
right.
on Friday.
Let's get the decorations out.
I look like a ridiculous idiot today. Tomorrow, I'll be listening to Mariah Carey on my way in. That is how quickly it changes for me.
Yeah, it's a quick turn of the page. I'm with you. If it's going to be in the middle of the week, you got to go weekend before.
Weekend before. Friday night, Saturday night, weekend before,
you might get more people. But the Friday after Halloween, I'm Halloweened out. I'm not putting my costume back on to go out to another party.
The unfortunate thing is the attention of Letterman jackets and Pop-Tart costumes is we've delayed the fact that... Old Jason T. Swigard gets
Jason
to celebrate today.
Jason Babes is feeling good over there.
Pop the champagne. Can you finally do this for me? Because we'll let you rant. I'm curious how you watched this game. You weren't responding to texts very well. Would you finally acknowledge publicly? Would you finally acknowledge just to us that 2020 title didn't feel great and that this indeed felt like a real World Series championship?
This felt different. Yes.
Okay.
The
players were saying that in the postgame.
Yeah, and I got it was actually the one. There was a lot of stuff we had heard about the team and, you know, how much they had to come together. They had more adversity this year than they've had in quite some time with the injuries and other stuff going on and Freddie Freeman and his son and all sorts of wild, crazy things. And they had half a pitching staff when they got to the playoffs. And the fact that they pulled this off is pretty miraculous, quite frankly. Everybody had them dead and buried down 2-1 to the Padres in the divisional series.
Including you.
Including me. I won't lie there. They win 2 bullpen games against the Mets in the league championship series. And then what they did in game 5, thank you, Yankees, for not catching the ball there in the fifth inning.
Basic fundamental Yankee baseball just could not
be seen. Let's get up 5-0 and play Little League baseball with the season on the line.
Let's not cover first and get out of this inning. What are we doing?
God, that was embarrassing.
The champagne tasted a little sweeter. So the fact that you did it against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium.
It does make it sweeter to do that.
It feels different.
Yeah.
I don't want to discount 2020 from what it was, because that was just a whole different set of weird, strange circumstances, and they dealt with it better than everybody else. But yes, there's going to be a parade on Friday in LA, and it's going to be insane.
Did we have a parade through the condo last night? Did we do a little little Congo line?
I was by myself. So yeah, it was.
Did you go out to a bar, just drank champagne by yourself?
Yeah.
I had a bottle of
Argyle Brut, same as last year. So now I have both bottles still.
You just kind of sit there and watch the MLB Network
coverage.
I was
watching all the post-game, just sipping.
Yep.
Any spraying of the champagne or just sipping?
No, I didn't want to do that. No, if I did that when she's no.
Well, you got to go out of the. You could go out in the backyard and kind of spray around a little bit and then hop in the shower.
That's good champagne. That's $25 champagne right there. We're not just It's not Corbel Cooks. We're not just losing that. That's
what you needed. You needed one bottle of Cooks for the spray, and then one bottle of the brood for the sipping. And the
That's actually a good idea. Yeah. You buy like two champagnes.
Because there's
buy the
crappy champagne
one.
Out there. You can get some bad champagne.
Well, you named the brand, but you buy that one, and you do the spray with that, and then you enjoy the Argyle.
Yes. Put the goggles on. You got any ski goggles for you?
Yeah. Very dry. Very dry. No hangover this morning. It was fantastic.
Well, I was happy for you. I know a lot of people that are Dodgers fans. My buddy, I think I've told you guys this before, he was a big Valenzuela guy.
Yes.
And so his son is a Giants fan, and so he's kind of pretended to be a Giant fan. In fact, I talked to him yesterday, said, "You a wreck today?
How you feeling?"
And he kind of laughed because he knew what I was talking about. And he goes, dude, it's probably bad enough that I'm a Cowboy and Duck fan. And I go, yeah. But at this point, you might as well just lean into it.
There were a few of those tweets rolling around last night of Cowboys lose on Sunday night, Lakers off to a rough start, Yankees losing the World Series. Rough week for those fans. Rough week for those
there
fans.
There is a combination of sports fan where you're like, oh, you're that guy.
Yeah, that fan, huh?
And I think he's very self-conscious of this, of like, do I want to be Duck, Cowboy, and Dodger fan? I'm who cares?
Does he also root for the Lakers? That's the next question. Or is he a Blazer fan?
He'd actually, to be honest with you, he doesn't care about any other sport except college football.
So that's it. That's all he's got.
The Ducks are everything to him. Yeah. He lives and dies by those 18 to 22-year-olds.
Damn right we do.
But yeah, he was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to be happy. He's going to get the tattoo of him. And so, yeah, I knew some people in L.A. I went down in 2016 and went to a playoff game, and I text them, and they were all very excited, including our buddy Alex Crawford. So, you know, I was happy for Dodger fans. I don't really hate the Dodgers that
my
much.
My Dodger fandom, I will not apologize for. And if anybody thinks they're front runners, no, I have been. That was my first in the 70s. I remember watching Reggie Jackson hit three home runs in Game 6 in 1977, and then they lost again in 78. So when they won in 81, and Fernando and that whole crew. So I have watched on television 4 of the Dodgers' 8 World Series championships in my lifetime.
It's pretty remarkable. But to be honest with you, too, though, like if you're being in the trust tree, you did jump on them when you were a child because they were good.
They were good.
It's okay to say that. All right. That's how I became a Niners fan.
Every kid does that.
Yeah, they were good. Also, being in Portland, and back then, you got a Monday night baseball game on ABC, and you got Saturday game of the week on NBC. Yeah. That's all you got. And so you were very limited. They showed a lot of Reds. At the time,
big red machine.
Obviously, a lot of Yankees.
Yep.
And a lot of Dodgers because Vin was the national voice of those games.
Yeah.
So him and Joe Garagiola. So I wasn't exposed. You know, and the league was 20 teams at the time. Maybe I don't know.
I did find it funny on the broadcast, and I don't want to belittle what you said on the show to start, but Dirt, I found it funny listening to John Smoltz. They showed Dave Roberts celebrating, and Dave Roberts seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
And Dave Roberts
celebrating. He did the best job managing. So he's done his whole career.
That's what Smoltz said, and I got to be honest with you. I kind of laughed, and I'm like, it's a billion-dollar roster. I understand he managed the hell out of
three MVPs in his lineup.
Oh, man, what he did with Ohtani.
The little engine that could, man.
Freddie Freeman.
Little engine that could. Nobody gave him a chance this year. Those billion-dollar Dodgers.
The Vegas favorite. Oh, what a job.
Hey, I can't cast any stones because I'm doing the same thing with my football team right now, but it is a little laughable, the whole, like, oh, what an underdog story coming through all of this.
The franchise does have resources to go out.
They have an illegal contract with Shohei Ohtani. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? I will say, the fandom in me, it was very hard to watch the Dodgers win. One of my initial reactions was kind of like, what took you so long? Like, you spent a lot of money, a lot of years, had a lot of chances. Like, you know, so it didn't hurt as bad as I thought it would watching them win a real World Series because that was my first instinct. The other part of it that made it a very complicated evening was that I definitely was rooting for the Yankees, but that's also a dirty, gross feeling, and nobody ever wants to have to do that.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of me that was able to chuckle at how bad they played.
Oh,
they just crapped down their pants with the season on. They built a 5-0 lead. We all thought, going back to L.A., games, Judge is getting going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And they just peed it down their leg, and there was a little bit that was kind of enjoyable about watching
And now
in front of their own fans, too.
Well, I had serious superstition going on. I know we got
to
go.
Well, I want you to hold the superstition.
Okay.
You're teasing superstition, so that makes me curious. I did find it funny, and now people are keeping track. Did that fan create their own curse?
Oh, the fighting fan on Mookie Betts?
So did you see that he was actually not banned?
They weren't, and then,
but then they read the room.
I think Rob Manfred made a call to the Yankees.
Did you see this?
No, I knew they kicked him out of the game. I just assumed they were banned.
We all thought he was banned.
Yeah, they were season ticket holders.
And then they said, no, he's not banned. So everybody's like, oh my God, they're going to be back because they're season ticket holders. And then Major League Baseball had to have gotten on the horn, and suddenly they went, well, they're not going to be at tonight's game. It's a cancer patient.
It was like, so they gave his
tickets. Could you imagine if they would have been back at the game
last night?
They were
going to be until
baseball stepped
in.
The very next night? Holy hell, Yankees. Yeah. What are we doing?
Also, Rob Gronkowski's college friend.
That was a totally random story yesterday.
And he's like bragging about what he was doing. That was weird.
He was always fighting for his teams. That sounds like him. He's always aggressive.
What? You're like 40, dude.
You're a professional athlete.
Do you think
too.
This is like cool?
You want somebody to grab your arm in the middle of a football game? Hey, like, what are we doing here?
It's ridiculous. We're not 21 years old anymore.
Oh, he got me my buddy got hammered last night.
No, you're almost 40.
Go
shut
to
up.
Bed, dude. You're going to die in like 15
Some
years.
Respect for yourself. We got a loaded show. Yogi Roth's going to join us at 8:15. I do think we could fly through the big pee pee picks with him. We don't have to do a standalone. We don't have to do it just with him. We can do our standalone, but we could throw him the big PP.
See how he feels about the only three games this weekend because the Beavs
are
off.
Beavs have a bye.
So we only got Oregon, Washington, and Washington State.
This weekend.
Beavs cannot lose this weekend.
No, give us time. Injuries. Injuries, my man. Can you stay healthy? Yogi
we will
Roth.
Ask him about the Beavs, though. We had a listener say you guys should talk to him.
We will.
They wanted us to ask Pate about the Beavs. I just don't know how closely he's. What they're, you know, to be fair, they're a little off the radar right now, and I just don't know how close.
No,
I don't want
I'll
to put him
it.
In a tough spot.
Pate's not watching Oregon State football right now. When you're a national guy, you got to keep track of as many of the top teams as you can.
They're just off the radar.
So I mean no disrespect to my Beaver brethren, but he's not paying attention much to what Oregon State is outside of their record. We will ask Yogi Roth.
Yogi Roth is watching the Beavs. We'll ask him about the Beavs.
So we'll get to Yogi Roth at 8:15. We got the Dirty Pole at 6:30. Let's get it going. Happy Halloween. We start with more of the Yankee-blown Game 5 Dodgers win the World Series next on The Fan. Yeah, there's Joe Davis, noted Dodger play-by-play man on the national call for Fox. The Dodgers win the World Series last night. Freddie Freeman, a no-brainer MVP. Walker Buehler comes out to close it. And if you saw this, you go, oh, that was a fun little 7-6 game, I bet. But if you didn't watch it, you wouldn't know that there was complete crumbling happening in this game. The Yankees were up 5-0 in this thing. And so I want to ask you, you mentioned this at the end of the segment, Swag.
Yeah.
Your Dodgers were down 5-0.
They were.
You said something about superstition.
Judge hits the first pitch he sees 9 miles, and you're like, okay, Flaherty doesn't have it.
Then Chisholm went back-to-back,
too, right
out of the gate.
Chisholm went back-to-back. Then Stanton hits one, and you're just like, okay, we're going to have to do this back in L.A. And so I had to go take a Dirt Johnson.
Okay, you had to take a Dirt Johnson. Middle of this game. What inning is this?
This is in the top of the fifth.
Top of the fifth inning.
What an inning to have to take a Dirt Johnson.
So top of the fifth, I'm up there. I didn't take my phone. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Come back downstairs. Bases loaded, nobody out. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell happened?
You missed quite a journey to load the bases.
Yeah, you did.
So then I'm on the couch. Shohei's up. I'm like, all right, here we go. 2 strikeouts. I texted you. I went to the throne, came back, and they're like, you better go back. And I did. I went right back up. I did not drop trowel. I sat on
Did you
top,
watch the game on the toilet?
But I took my phone and watched the game there.
It's dedication.
They then scored 5 runs to tie it up, and I stayed there watching it until New York retook the lead.
Then it's over.
So the porcelain mojo was gone at that point.
That was like 2 innings later, I think.
Yeah.
They didn't score right away. You were on your toilet for a while last night.
Well, between innings, I would get up and go get something or do something. But then when it started, I was back there.
You will never forget this World Series
because
of that moment.
It was the toilet.
I was all over the house. And then I figured, when New York scored again, the porcelain magic and mojo was gone. So it was safe to go back downstairs.
Unbelievable.
The power of the toilet, man. Isn't it funny how we all have those little things at times when we watch games? You just have to do something or I can't see or I can't look. Or it's so funny how fandom takes over. If you're a Yankee fan,
brutal.
Hot. You're never going to get over that inning.
No.
You'll never get over that inning. You're probably not coming back and winning the series. That's fine. But Aaron Judge drops a can of corn fly ball. Should have been the first out of the inning.
How did that happen?
I have no clue. It's just a shallow fly ball in center field. He comes in.
He glanced up to see if the runner was going to advance.
You can't care about the runner for just a second.
I mean, the runner was at first base. He's in shallow center field. Nobody's tagging up there. I think maybe he was looking to see if he could try and throw him out or something, if he's too far off the bag. He glanced up, drops the ball. You then have Volpe at shortstop. We should have had an easy force out at third base. They had first and second, nobody out. He gets a ground ball to his right side in the hole.
Spiked the ball in front
of the third baseman, can't field it. So now all of a sudden the bases are loaded. And then after all of that,
then Cole struck out two
back-to-back guys. He strikes out, and you get a ground ball to Rizzo at first base to end the inning. Cole doesn't cover the bag, and Rizzo takes his fat ass time over there and doesn't speed up, thinking that Cole's going to cover the bag. And next thing you know, it's
Freddie
a 5-5 game.
Teoscar come
like that, just is embarrassing Little League baseball. And it's one thing to get beat. Like Ohtani comes up and cranks a bomb. Freddie Freeman does it again. Like, whatever, dude. You tip your cap and you say the Dodgers, it was their year. They beat us. Nothing we could do. You did that all to yourself. And that wasn't even the end of it. They walked guys. They had a balk. They had a catcher's interference. That was clown baseball by the New York Yankees in their biggest game last night.
It was. They absolutely choked. It's not a good look for Aaron Boone that his team committed all these errors. I understand. Gerrit Cole was good in this game. It doesn't look like it in the box score, but...
Yeah, all five runs were unearned.
All unearned runs.
You should cover first is what I would say. But also in looking at the still image, there's a million shots out here where it's like two out, bases loaded, the ground ball to Rizzo. Who was it running? Was it Mookie?
Mookie Betts,
Mookie running to first. And you're just kind of like, yeah, he should cover first. Rizzo.
He also took his sweet time on the play thinking that Cole was going to cover first.
And like they kept,
I guess they said there was some weird spin on the ball. It wasn't just a straight.
It went away from the foul line that kind of took him a foot or two away from the bag.
Saw it and he was like, oh, okay, I need to concentrate here. And Gerrit Cole's head was spinning because his defense.
He was pointing at the bag thinking the inning was over.
He thought Rizzo was just going to come in, scoop it up, and jog right over.
Well, they made Rizzo this like team leader. He goes and he talks to the pitcher by himself. He speaks to the clubhouse. Why don't you get a hit?
Yeah.
Why don't you field things properly and get out of the inning?
Yeah.
I don't hate Anthony Rizzo, but I kind of get annoyed of the guy that's literally doing nothing for his team. What a leader he is.
He chokes up on the bat, gets hit by a pitch.
Oh,
look at that, Rizzo.
What a team guy.
Great job, Rizzo.
Yeah, you know who doesn't like Anthony Rizzo? Yankee fan.
Gerrit Cole.
An absolute bum. Gerrit Cole, what are we doing?
I mean, you field that ground ball correctly, you get out of that inning, you win the game last night. It's as simple as that. And we're here talking about Game 6 in L.A. on Friday night. This is the beauty, though, of like... You keep putting yourself in a chance to win. Yeah. Eventually, it's going to go your... Like, eventually, you catch a break. Somebody screws up. You catch a break.
That was the difference. This Dodger team, compared to the last three or four where they've been, stacked and huge payroll and all those sorts of things, more often than not, they had to just play a game every night. They figured out a way in the game. There was a lot of weird stuff that happened. They had a lot... Especially
that was a weird game last night. That was fun and weird.
It was fun.
It was
and
a
weird.
Really fun game. Yeah,
but
it
the
was
Dodgers have played in a lot more games like that because of all the pitching injuries, all the different injuries. Mookie was out of the lineup for a while. Shohei was out of the lineup for a while. Muncy was out of the lineup for a while, long periods of time. So they were mixing and matching defensive positions and using 5-6 relievers in a game. So LA, they weren't. That wasn't weird for them at that point of the game. They're just like, okay, we just got to do what we got to do. And they've been doing that a lot this season compared to previous seasons where they just rolled the lineup out and mashed dudes. And then they got to the playoffs and they weren't prepared for it.
Well, the one thing that they did this postseason, especially late, was they've been an offense that had to hit home runs, and they'd home runs. I mean, most of it was Freddie Freeman in the World Series, but the Yankees couldn't hit a lot of bombs early in the series, and they finally woke up in game four, and then last night hit a couple as well.
But Dodgers also manufactured runs.
They did
a ton. They had like seven or eight sack flies
in the
series.
Well, and then in that fifth inning, like, give them credit, like the Yankees set that whole thing up and they didn't deserve to do it, but then it's Freddie Freeman with a big hit with two outs, and then it's a double in the gap that clears the bases, and all of a sudden the game's tied. Like, they got big hits when they needed to. My favorite stat of the night after the game, since 1913, the Yankees became the only team in Major League Baseball history to blow a 5-run lead, allow 5 unearned runs, commit 3+ errors, commit a catcher's interference, and commit a balk all in the same game, regular season or postseason. No team has done that
since
1913, and they did it all in one game.
Jeez.
And they did it in Game 5 of the World Series.
My favorite stat was the Yankees were 45-5 in games when Stanton and Judge went yard, and they lost last night.
That's a hell of a stat.
I do want to play this, and we'll get to the dirty pull here. The Dodgers winning the World Series.
We can kick the dirty pull to 645 if you want.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if there's any, I think there might be some meat on the bone here. If okay. We got any more meat
yeah,
on
let's,
this bone.
Let's, okay, carry it over. I'm all for that. We'll do the dirty pull at 645. We'll carry that to that segment. More on the World Series. We'll hear from Aaron Judge. What did he think, or not Aaron Judge, Aaron Boone, excuse me, on the Yankees' miscues in the fifth inning. And the Dodgers basically admitting what Dirt and I have been saying, even though Swag has been denying this is a thing. It kind of was a thing. It was a real thing. So we'll get to that coming up next. Dodgers win the World Series. More on that next on The Fan. John Ewing of BetMGM says the Yankees were a minus 5,000 to win Game 5 before Judge dropped that catch.
5-0 in the fifth inning, and it all snowballed from there.
I'm looking at the replay of that, because in real time I'm like, what? Just, I thought there was a glitch in the Matrix.
Especially for the game that he was having, too. He had already hit a bomb. He made a great catch up against the wall.
Like,
he was like, it was like, oh my God, this is the Aaron Judge game. And then that play happened.
How did he drop that?
It's a routine can of corn fly ball. Makes no sense.
That's unreal. Yeah, I like Aaron Judge, actually. I
do, too.
I felt a little bad for his struggles. It's got to suck to be such a great player.
I found myself happy for him when he had those moments. When he hit that bomb and the crowd was into it, he was like, all right, that's kind of cool. Good for Aaron Judge.
By all accounts, he's a good dude. He represents the franchise in a great way. He makes baseball fun. And to just have those struggles, it sucks.
Like this one, man. All those injuries. They're MVP players during the season. I'm impressed. Their other MVP players stepped up. Rough year for the Dodgers.
Look, there is a combination where I think both sides are right here.
Perseverance.
Of Roberts had to obviously manage this pitching situation very right. He had to get it right. Also, his lineup is ridiculous. So it's like I'm caught in between of, hey, yeah, good job. Also, stop acting like this is the greatest managerial job I've ever seen
right,
in my life.
Helps a little bit to have three MVPs in your lineup.
Dave, what'd you do when batters 1 through 4 came up? Well, I really had to work my ass off to make sure they
Told them to swing away. Said, hey, swing away here, guys. Let's be aggressive. I did see on your Freddie Freeman note.
Yeah.
He became, there's a very limit. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. I'll see if I can find it.
Two MVPs with two different teams?
No, well, that too, because he has done it now twice, but regular season MVP and a World Series MVP.
Yeah, that's right, because I think Soler was actually our MVP in the World Series.
I believe so, yeah. I don't think he was World Series MVP when he was in Atlanta. He did hit home runs in the last two games, which meant he hit 6 straight World Series game home runs, which was a pretty cool stat. But I think it was like 5 guys all time that had been a regular season MVP and a World Series MVP. All of them are in the Hall of Fame outside of Pete Rose. Pete Rose is the only one who's not in the Hall of Fame in that category, and Freddie Freeman joined that list.
By the way, also, they won the World Series, and Shohei Ohtani did nothing.
He's not clutch. He doesn't have clutch gene. He's Kevin Durant.
Well, he didn't do anything in the World Series.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, he got to the World Series, and this doesn't take anything away. I love Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just happens in that sport where you get a little cold, plus you're injured.
He injured. He was out of sync after that.
I think the injury effed him up pretty bad, but it's just speaks to the team that they just won this in 5 games and he didn't do anything in the series.
The Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant to go off in the finals, but we got Steph and Clay and Draymond out there. They'll be fine. We don't need you really. You just scored 10 points. We'll still win a championship.
Let's get to Aaron Boone. If you could play this for me, Swag, because I cannot turn and see the screen being a Pop-Tart.
It's all right.
Strawberry Pop-Tart if you see it on YouTube.
I'm going to be so impressed if you make it through the whole show in that thing.
Every commercial break is a struggle bus at this point. It's not easy to sit here in this costume.
You have a very stiff neck by the end of the show. You can't really move.
Go to the bathroom if you need to.
I've already told Dirt I have to hold it. 3 hours of holding.
Should have brought a diaper in today.
Here is Aaron Boone post-game on his team's fifth inning flubs.
We didn't take care of the ball well enough in that inning, and against a great team like that, they took advantage. It looked like just kind of that sinking liner that just Judgey missed. Play the Volpe, the right move, obviously, going to third, a little bit of a short hop over there at third, didn't complete the play. And then, you know, Mookie hits the squibber, so Riz couldn't really run through it. You know, he kind of had to stay there and make sure he secured the catch because of the spin on the ball. And I think just, you know, Garrett, just all that he went through in that inning, kind of spent and kind of almost working his way out of it, just didn't react quick enough to get over.
You know, Aaron Boone is largely not loved in New York.
No, not at all, especially after last night.
They want him fired. Our buddy Nick Costos of You Better You Bet said basically Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone have as much right to their job as a Supreme Court justice. You're just there forever. Nothing's going to change. Yeah. I also, can I defend him a little bit here? Like, these guys are pro ball players.
Yeah,
does Luke Weaver not know what a balk is? Aaron Judge, how is Aaron Boone supposed to make him catch a routine fly? Like,
I think the tough part for that, you're not wrong necessarily about last night. It's more the criticism him about how you set the tone for the series in game one.
With the Garrett
they
Cole
should have won game one.
I agree.
They should, and if you win game one, it's a totally, you went into LA, you stole home field, totally different vibe. He takes Cole out, he takes Weaver out too soon, he brings in a guy who hasn't pitched in a month to face two MVPs. Like, that was, he mismanaged game one. I don't know how many mistakes he made the rest of the series. And you're right, last night wasn't on it. Catch a fly ball and you win the game.
Catch a fly ball,
field a ground ball.
Remember how many
PFP,
times
you win a game.
First.
Like, yes. Simple stuff. But I understand because the criticism, it's similar to the Dave Roberts stuff, though. And so I can speak to that. But this is what Dave Roberts had to deal with for a long time. Get this guy out of here. He can't win the big one. He can't get over the hump. And, well, now
Dave Roberts, he's too reliant on analytics. He overmanages the bullpen and all that sort of stuff.
Which is interesting because we have a cut from one of the pitchers in this game.
Yeah, Blake Treinen.
Blake Treinen was in, and he was in a sticky situation, and Roberts came out, and basically we thought, oh, maybe he's going to pull him. He went out there, and it looks like he slapped him on the chest and say, get us out of this. You can do this. Like, gave him some vote of confidence, went back to the dugout, and he did, and the Dodgers ended up winning a one-run game. Here was, we have talked, Dirt and I, jokingly, but also kind of serious to Swag, of they won the World Series in 2020 during COVID, but it was a 60-game season. So, like, yeah, they won that year. They were the best team in that season of all the teams, but nobody was there.
Nobody was there. Everything was played in, like, one stadium.
It felt very, it was in Texas. They beat the Rays in Texas.
It felt very hollow, and Swag didn't want to admit this, but he knew in his heart of hearts it didn't feel like a real title. They won it. Here's Blake Treinen in the post game about winning this one versus 2020.
Well, I've been very blessed to be a part of this organization for my fifth year now. In my first year, we were, you know, very blessed to have a World Series in Texas. And there's been a lot of people that want to discredit 2020. And I don't want to harp on this a lot, but it's so great to see the guys that are still here from then, Doc, the players, front office, being able to finally silence the critics on this, because every year has its challenges. Everybody has the same playing field. That's an amazing team we just played. This team has zero quit in it. And every single night, if we don't have the outcome we want, there's always guys out there picking each other up and challenging ourselves to be better. And that's why we won tonight.
So I think if you were to give true serum to that dugout, that locker room, I think they'd all be like, yeah, 20 was great. We got one.
I mean,
but
you got a ring. It goes in the history books. It's different. We all know it's
this
different.
This one feels more authentic. You win 162 games. You beat the Yankees in the World Series.
Had to go on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's just different, man.
Yes.
It's different. The only other thought I had last night at the end of the game, watching a little bit of the celebration, I could only stomach so much, then I turned it off.
Sure.
The only other thought I had was, what was Mike Trout thinking last night?
He made his bed, dude.
I mean, he dug his own grave. You're not wrong, but first year gone from Anaheim. First year gone. Wins the World Series.
He chose right.
He did.
Like, he cares about winning.
He does.
I kind of feel like I'm a little bit of a Mike Trout hater sometimes. Like, I'll acknowledge how great a baseball player he is, but I kind of, it's funny you say that. I wasn't even like what Mike Trout was thinking. I just laughed. I'm like, his first year post the Angels.
First year he's out of there.
He's got a ring. He's going to get an MVP. He went a 50-50 season.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, why?
Where are you, buddy?
Why did you stay?
Guy hasn't sniffed the postseason in a decade. He hasn't played in a playoff game since 2014.
Don't you recognize that you're with a garbage organization and a terrible ownership situation? Yeah. I don't get it.
Sometimes loyalty goes too far, man.
I'm just glad my Friday night is freed up now.
Stress-free Friday night for Swag this weekend.
Gonna figure out what I'm gonna do.
We'll get to some college football. We'll get to the Trailblazers last night. How about a road win for the old Trailblazers? Huh?
Against a
what are we doing?
Sort of real team?
What are
a
we doing?
A team that got off to a good start, but I'll poo-poo the good team thing a little bit.
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
We're playing the best game in the Scoot era is what we're doing.
We're already two games out now.
We're not already
two games out.
Script.
Okay.
Already two games out.
I'll be the lone optimistic.
Yeah,
voice
this is great.
This
Let's
show.
Get the 13th overall pick. This sounds great. That's how you get out of the position the Blazers are in. That sounds like a great strategy.
Hey, I'll be the lone.
Let's tank, but
here.
Not fully tank. That sounds like an awesome season.
Give me some.
Not
t-shirts.
Good enough. Not bad enough. That's exactly where you want to be in professional sports.
All right. Well, you can crap all over. We haven't even got to it yet. We'll get to it today. Yogi Roth will join us at 8:15. We'll get to our big PP picks as well. But up next. The Dirty Poll, the top 12 in college football, according to one Andy Dirt Johnson, is next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. We're on the YouTubes, we're on The Fan, we're on the Odyssey app, we're all over the place. We've got local bureaucracy news to get to today.
Well, that sounds thrilling. I filled out my ballot last night.
You voted?
I did. Took forever.
Now, be careful dropping it off at a box. We've got some psychos out there who are snowflakes and ready to light them on fire.
Not going to do that. Let's stop bombing ballot boxes, maybe. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should not do that. Just a piece of advice.
Yeah, it'd be really nice if, you know.
Can we just have a normal next Tuesday? Is there any chance we have a normal next Tuesday?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but there's already cheating going on, Andrew.
Yes, there
there's
is.
There's already cheating. The cheating has started. Normal society we're living in here.
There's a way that you could just like unplug from everything for like 72 hours and just disappear off the face of the earth. I would do that next like Monday through Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I'm being sincere when I say this, and you can think whatever you think about me for saying this. I'm going to get home Tuesday after the show. I'm going to get some stuff done.
Load up your canned food.
Is there a Blazer game that night?
Oh, let me check.
Well, I know. Well, college basketball starts on Monday.
Yeah.
So if you want to absolutely lose your, because there'll be 8 billion games between everywhere, and
they
ESPN
do not
Plus.
Play on election night. They are in New Orleans on Monday, and they are in San Antonio on Thursday.
I am going to show prep, and I am not going to be on Twitter.
Just going to unplug.
I will be off the internet, and when I come in the next day, you're either going to tell me that the orange guy won or the lady won.
Yeah.
That's what's going to
happen. I'll update you before the show Wednesday.
I will not watch TV.
I'm just hoping that there is a clear conclusion to it.
Well, if it's one side, there's going to be rampant cheating going on that needs to be investigated. But the other side, well, it's clean.
Yeah, that's the way it works now.
That's how that works. So let's get to our dirty poll, the top 12.
Dirty poll time.
At college football, enough with the politics, guys. Stick to
sports. Damn it. Shut up over there. Enough Dodger bull crap. Let's get to real sports, all right?
The bureaucracy was about local sports, actually, not politics.
Oh, it was? Oh, okay.
I don't know if you saw that story.
I think I did. I think I know what you're talking about.
Let's get to the dirty poll.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
Top 12. Go.
Top four remains unchanged. Your conference champions and first-round byes, Oregon in the Big Ten, Georgia in the SEC, Clemson in the ACC, Iowa State in the Big 12. Remains unchanged. Iowa State was on a bye last week. Did not play. Clemson. Who the hell did Clemson beat? I can't even remember. They won, though.
Your hottest take right now is that Miami gets dumped down under Clemson, who has a blowout loss to one of these top four
teams. Yes, they do. Miami also hasn't barely played a team with a winning record
this year. No, I like it. So. It's a little bit of a hot take.
Miami had to play an offense with a pulse. They'd give up 942 points, but I digress. That is your top four. And also, by the way, they announced yesterday that those bowl tie-ins will be historic bowl tie-ins.
Yes.
So that's kind of a cool little note. So if Oregon does get a first-round bye, their first playoff game will be at the Rose Bowl, no matter who they're playing, which is kind of cool to know for fans. 5 through 12, we did some jumble this week. It's a little convoluted. The picture's a little cloudy. We have a newcomer into the top 12, a team that I have talked a lot of trash about, so I gotta, you know, I'll take one on the chin today.
Okay.
5 through 12, we'll give you the matchups here. Number 5, up to number 5 right now, mainly because the other two teams around them are struggling. I think they got a great chance to win this weekend, and if they do, they are almost locked into this spot in my mind, and maybe I have a chance to get into the top 4. Penn State's number 5. I know Penn State didn't look great, but they went on the road, beat Wisconsin by 2 scores with a backup quarterback. Tough place to play, environment, and vice versa. The two teams behind them both struggled, in my opinion, this week and were less than stellar. So 5 is Penn State. Boise State remains your 12 seed, so that's your first round matchup. Boise State going on the road to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Your 6 seed, is a team that technically got a rank win this weekend, but I think we can chuckle a little bit and say if they weren't in this conference, it wouldn't be a rank win, and it won't be a rank win the rest of the year. Texas is number six. They beat Vanderbilt this weekend 27-24.
Still a good win.
Still a good win. I'll
give
it to them.
Debatably their best win of the year.
It's, yeah, I don't even know if it's debatable, to be honest with you, depending on how Michigan finishes the season. they are number six. They will be hosting in the first round of the playoff the 11-seeded Indiana Hoosiers.
I hated Indiana.
I do hate Indiana.
They weren't in this.
I still hate Indiana, but this is all about projecting where it's going to be at the end of the year. Okay. I thought they were going to lose this weekend, to be honest with you. Now they're getting their starting quarterback back. They go on the road to Michigan State this weekend. I'd be pretty surprised if Jonathan Smith pulls that one off.
Trappy game.
A little bit of a trappy game, sure. So even if Indiana loses to Ohio State, which I still think they'll do because they got to go play them in Columbus in a couple of weeks, an 11-1 Indiana is... They're going to be in the playoff, and so I got to start making room for them. They're your 11 seed. 7 versus 10 matchup will be a team that if they lose this weekend, boy, oh boy, this is going to be complicated. Ohio State is number 7. They barely beat Nebraska, fresh off Nebraska losing by 50 points on the road
Nebraska
to Indiana.
They should have
won the game. They had the ball with a couple of minutes to go, chance to close it out, couldn't put together the last drive they needed. They got inside the 20 a bunch, just couldn't score touchdowns. Ohio State's offense looks broken right now. They are number 7. They are hosting number 10 Notre Dame in the first round of the playoff.
Welcome back.
The Fighting Irish. Yeah. And your 8-9 matchup is going to be Tennessee, who's got a big one coming up here in a couple of weeks. They are hosting Miami. That is your 8-9 matchup. Miami blew out Florida State this weekend. They play nobody the rest of the year, although we do get the Manny Diaz revenge game this year. Did you know Manny Diaz is the head coach at Duke?
I did.
And he is hosting, or no, not hosting. They're in Miami this weekend, so you get the old Manny Diaz revenge game.
Which one, let me ask you this, and then we'll carry some college football over, and then we'll get to the Blazers at 7:15.
Here we go.
Which one of these 5 through 12s, which one leaves you most nervous or least confident that it's going to stick? You've been willing to be flexible and change out who's who and are they going to stay in and or this team's earned it. Like Indiana's not a team you're high on, but you acknowledge if they just run through it and only lose one game, they're in it.
11-1 Indiana's in the college football playoff.
But who are you most nervous about? Is it Ohio State? Is it Tennessee?
Here's the thing with Tennessee.
They're so weird lately.
They are very weird. They're coming off a bye. They get Kentucky this weekend at home. They have to go to Georgia in a couple of weeks, and I don't think they're going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they lose it, this again gets back to the debate of can somebody else knock them off? The rest of their schedule is Kentucky, Mississippi State at home, UTEP at home, and at Vanderbilt. So it's if a 10-2 Tennessee team is in. I would say the biggest question for me, honestly, right now, would be Ohio State is already a one-loss team if they are to lose this weekend. You feel like you could say a 10-2 Ohio State team is guaranteed to get in.
We all would have said that.
But how many Big Ten teams can you get in? Because in this scenario, Oregon maybe loses one. Even if they lose one game, they have the head-to-head over Ohio State. You're not getting in over Oregon.
Oregon will get in with one loss.
If you lose this weekend to Penn State, Penn State's getting into the playoff over you.
Yes.
And even if you beat Indiana in a couple of weeks, Indiana's 11-1. You're 10-2.
Yeah.
And so are you telling me four Big Ten, if Indiana does not lose another game, are four Big Ten teams going to get in? If that's the case, Ohio State's got a great shot. But you know the SEC's going to want 5. Notre Dame's looming with one loss.
They are.
This doesn't even include an undefeated BYU team who doesn't have that many challenging games left. It's a very tough picture right now. But I would honestly say, based on the way they played last weekend and the game they got this weekend, and they can shut me up on Saturday morning, but it's Ohio State right now.
Should Notre Dame have to publicly apologize for what they did to that service academy? That was ran them out of
technically a ranked win for Notre Dame.
No, it's a great win.
Technically a ranked win
I just kept
them.
Watching going, damn, Irish, stop it. They get it. You're better. Yeah. All right, stop.
It was
stop.
Like 55-14 at one point. That was a bit of a bloodbath there.
Tennessee, Pate said this, and I should have asked this. I just remembered it because you just brought it up. Pate said on his show Sunday that right now 5 or 6 SEC teams should be getting. And I'm just like, dude. What?
This is how it works every year,
Why
man.
Do we do this?
Every year,
why
this
do
is
we,
how it works.
You say Tennessee loses 2 times, they could still get... Why? Why?
Because they're in the SEC and their name's Tennessee.
Because they beat Alabama at home narrowly. Yeah.
They got to win over Alabama on their schedule.
I'm so...
It just means
that's
more.
That's why I'm most curious about the first rankings. Not necessarily maybe 1 through 6, but I'm more interested in like 10 through 20.
Yeah, what teams show up where and why?
We found out the connection to the bowls won't change because of the contracts. We also found out yesterday they're claiming they're not going to do matchups based on... did they play each other already?
They're saying they don't care. So they're
Ohio State and Oregon is there.
Once they figure out who the 12 teams are,
yes,
and then it's 1 through 12 seeds.
If it's Oregon, Ohio State for a third time,
whatever.
They don't care.
Ironically, there is a team that's on the outside of my playoff that was inside last week that I took out because I think they're going to lose this weekend. Now, if they don't lose this weekend, and don't forget this team. I had A&M in there last weekend. They beat LSU. That was a big win for them. Down, came back. They go on the road to South Carolina this weekend.
That's a tough game.
That's a trap game for them.
That's
off a big win over LSU.
Line, yeah.
If they win that game, the only real challenge remaining on their schedule is they play Texas at home in the last week of the regular season. And you could argue, again, a two-loss A&M team is likely going to be in the playoff. So if you don't want the SEC to dominate this stuff, you got to start rooting for some of these teams to lose. You need A&M to lose on the road at South Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, my final point on this, and this is kind of beating a dead horse, I think most people kind of generally, it just, what annoys me is like they're allowed to lose two games, and it's, well, two-loss this team, and two-loss that team, and two-loss this team. That hasn't been like LSU, for example. They lost to USC.
They did. Not a quality loss anymore.
Yeah. But like, oh, if LSU only loses two, they're in.
Yeah.
Why?
They're not
eliminated. Why are they allowed
yet?
To lose two games? Right. But BYU, God forbid, loses once.
They're out.
Get them out.
Yeah.
It's such a ridiculous way that we, and I'm not saying that these teams wouldn't beat these other teams. It's just, we're not playing by the same rules, and we largely haven't been for a long time. But
never will.
I hate hearing you say it. A&M loses twice, they're in the playoff. Like, okay, cool. And BYU loses once, they're out?
Yep.
That's how this is going to work?
That's exactly how this is going to work.
College football.
Buddy. Florida State went undefeated last year, man.
Just put me in the toaster. I'm done. Just drop me down right now.
Drop me down.
Cook me and eat me.
I will remember you.
We have a lot to get to in hour number two, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app.